Amen. Now open your Bible or on your device, find James chapter 1. We are continuing on a series titled Handle with Care. There's so much information out there about self-care, but the book of James is the self-care manual of the New Testament. It gives us so much tremendous advice so that we can take care of ourselves, take care of one another. And we started this a couple of weeks ago. Last week, right after the second service, I walked into my office and my wife was there and she said, "This is great. This is really fantastic. I preached on listening." She goes, "Now you have to listen to me like never before." She said, "You have to look me in the eyes when I'm talking, and you can never interrupt me. This is fantastic." I said, "I don't think I'm preaching any more of this series." But you know what? These are very, very important, very, very delicate, high-impact issues that we're covering here. You know, as human beings, we're complex. We are at our core spirit, but we're not just spirit, we're also soul. So your soul is a combination of your mind and your emotions mixed together. It's what uniquely makes you, you. And then we're also physical bodies. We are all three at once, and so there's something very complex about taking care of ourselves. You have to take care of your body. You have to take care of your emotions. And you also have to be mindful of how to guard your heart and guard your spirit. And today, we're going to be looking at how to deal with a very, very sensitive emotion that we must all manage. Today's message is kind of like part two from last week's passage. And the title of today's message is Handling Anger. We're talking about anger. Uh-oh, there's a doozy. And you know, we live in a culture that actually celebrates instant reactions. We live in a, you know, like social media celebrates when we clap back at people very quickly, when someone has a clever comeback and puts another person down, or when we troll people, or on and on. They actually celebrate when someone disses someone else. I don't know if that's still a word right now, but back in the day, old school, for all of you my age, when you say something nasty to someone, social media and the news actually exalts it and celebrates it, but we overlook the fact that whenever we express anger, we're not only hurting other people, but we're also hurting ourselves. You know, everyone is affected by what I'm going to call the sin of anger. And so we're going to get some very, very important advice today from the book of James. We're going back to last week's passage. James 1, beginning with verse 19, is as follows. "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak." That was last week's message. Quick to listen and slow to speak. But now, part two to this is, and then it says, and let's read this together. Slow to become angry. And slow to become angry. Why? Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. In other words, human anger does not lead us where God wants us to go. So we have to be slow to become angry. We have to learn how to manage our anger. So therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. So when you watch it on social media, when you watch it or read it in the news, you have to realize that this world is so filled with moral filth, and we don't want to take our cues from the culture, because if you take your cues from the culture, it's going to hurt other people and it's going to hurt yourself. But when we follow the word of God, we help other people and we help ourselves. Anybody here want to help yourself? Amen. And so it says, get rid of all of that and then humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So we're going to be talking about this issue of this emotional state of anger, which every human being has to process from time to time. Now, some of us have to process it more than others, depending on your personality, depending on your upbringing, depending on your background. But what I want to do is I want to pray today that the Holy Spirit, whether you're watching online or whether you're in this room, that the Holy Spirit would enable us to receive God's truth deeply. This truth will help our marriages. This truth will help our parenting. This truth will help our church. It'll help our relationships. It'll help us in so many different ways, but we have to be ready to receive deeply. Anybody here want to receive deeply on this topic of anger? So come on, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time, and we ask for your supernatural grace to speak deeply to us. God, regardless of the past, regardless of our personality, God, help us to receive what you have to say to us. And God, we pray that we would be transformed, oh God. May today be like a restart for so many marriages. May today be like a restart in so many different forms, oh God, so many different relationships. God, we're praying for a restart as a result of receiving this truth profoundly. So bless this word, bless our time. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. Now, in a few moments, what we're going to do is we're going to, first of all, define anger, because we have to, a lot of people don't really understand what anger is, okay? And then in addition to that, we're going to point out two very important truths about anger that are easily overlooked. And without this kind of instruction, it's going to be very difficult to manage this whole issue of anger. And so, first of all, the psychologist, I've got a slide for you. The psychologists list all, this is part of the emotions chart of some psychologists, and this is just one section, and it talks about all of the different expressions of anger. There are many, many expressions of anger, and you're going to see, though, just because you feel anger doesn't mean that you're in sin. Okay, so these are the expressions of anger, but for the sake of spiritual and godly understanding, I want to encourage you to look at anger differently. In when it comes to the spiritual context, there are basically three forms of anger, and you really got to get this today, okay? There are three forms of anger. Could we put up that slide, please? So the first is carnal anger. Everybody say carnal anger. Carnal anger is anger that is rooted in one's sinful nature or flesh, okay? Carnal anger is when we operate with the aura, as they say now, or the vibe of the... So here, I have spirit, right? So I have spirit of revenge. I have a bullying spirit, or the spirit of violence, or the spirit of impatience, or frustration, or the spirit of offense. When I say spirit, I'm not saying that you're full of a spirit. I'm saying it's your aura, it's your vibe. Some people, they grow up with the teaching of don't get mad, get even. That's the spirit of revenge, right? Like I just heard a story of a billionaire type guy. Who there was a newspaper that exposed some very personal stuff about him, and he was very upset. But you know that, you know how the tabloids are. They just put it all out there. And so, you know what? He didn't say anything. But what he did is anytime someone was going to sue the newspaper, because they did that a lot, he would pay for the best lawyers, and he would pay all of their lawyer bills against this company. Now, no one knew. This was all on the down low. And then one court case and another court case. Four years later, they lost so many court cases that they went bankrupt. And then after they went bankrupt, then he was in some kind of interview or something. He goes, yeah, I was so happy. I paid for every court case, and those people are out of business. Ha, ha, ha. What is that? That's a spirit of revenge. You understand? And so that's kind of a carnal thing, a bullying spirit, a spirit of violence. Those who grew up like I did, where you, like we were taught how to fight in my neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? The men used to say, oh, hey, here's how you do this. Here's when you're supposed to run. Like we literally were taught how to fight. So maybe you grew up and violence was a natural part of your upbringing. If that's the case, it's easy for you to get into that space. If it's easy for you, you have to realize that's part of your lower nature, your fallen nature. That's the old man. How many know that's not the new man? That's the old man. Come on, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. You know, I forgot last service. I need to bring out my amen button today because I know this one runs deep. Okay, but this is really, really important and very, very helpful. Look, today, if it's easy to be angry because of your upbringing, the line in your spirit has to be changed. But the Holy Spirit can move that line. Amen? Spirit of violence, spirit of impatience or frustration. Some people, they don't realize this, but they carry a spirit of offense. And so you have a moment of conflict here, and actually, the moment before the conflict started, you were offended way back when, and you bring that offense to this moment. And so you overreact, and you're angry, and you're frustrated, not because of what's happening here, but because of what's happening there. You have this spirit of offense that everybody's after you. Today, God wants to speak to that, and he wants to bring healing, and we have to understand that that is the flesh. Okay, now, the second type of anger is what we call moral indignation. When the Bible speaks of anger in this particular text, it's not talking about carnal anger. It's talking about moral indignation. Moral indignation is a feeling of anger or resentment aroused by perceived injustice or immorality. In other words, if you're one of those people, right, that you have strong convictions, you have a strong sense of right and wrong, you have to understand that you are very vulnerable to slip into the sin of anger. So the thing about anger that is unique and different is that anger is the only emotion that you can slip into sin on the basis of actually trying to stand for what's right. So you could be trying to stand for what's right, but actually slip into sin, because here's the thing that we have to understand. Our moral indignation does not equate to God's righteous indignation. See, the third, sometimes we say, I just feel such righteous indignation. If you ever said that, you're wrong. Okay? Because righteous indignation is reserved for God. Okay, it's God's perfect response to evil and injustice. You understand? And so where we make a mistake is that just because we say, wait a second, I got the Bible verse to back how I feel, you know, and I'm mad and I'm justified. No, because just because you feel strongly about it doesn't mean that all of you is holy. You have to have the humility to understand only God responds to injustice and evil perfectly. We do not. That's why the Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You can't take vengeance because you're imperfect in your response to people at all times. We are fallen. So just because we feel moral indignation, we must understand that just because you're angry, because you feel like this is just wrong, we still have to need the humility to not fall into the sin of anger. We can easily fall into the sin of anger, even though we're trying to stand for what's right. So this is a very, very interesting and deep principle. And let me put it to you this way. I want to talk about relational dynamics, because anger is expressed within ourselves, but within the context of relationships. And look at what the Bible says. So the Bible says, a brother wronged is more unyielding than a fortified city. Disputes, arguments, are like the barred gates of a citadel. So here's what this means. It means that when someone gets offended, you know what they do, right? They shut down. They close up. Now, typically in relationships, like we do this for premarital counseling all the time. First time, one of the first lessons of premarital counseling at our church, they'll ask you the question, okay, in every marriage, one person is a stuffer and another person is a fixer. Who are you? So we ask the couple, who are you? So the stuffer is the one that when they get upset, they're like, I don't want to talk anymore. Right? I mean, I remember talking to a serious man of God who got offended. He was like this, no. I said, can we talk about this? You need to talk about it. No, I don't want to talk. Okay? So that means that when this person gets offended or angry or hurt, what they do is they go like this. Okay? Now, the fixer, on the other hand, when there's a problem, they're like, we cannot do anything else until we fix this. Right? So this is how people fight. So the stuffer's like, I don't want to talk right now. The fixer's like, we have to talk right now. So now the fixer is offended because the stuffer wants the stuff. And now the stuffer is double offended because the stuffer needs space and the fixer doesn't want to give space. Okay? So look, here's what you need to understand. All right? We have to feel responsible for one another. We have to take care of one another. And look, if you live with a stuffer, sometimes they just need space. Right? They just need some space. Give them some space. Let the temperature go down. I was talking to someone just recently, and I said, you know what I think? I think that when you wake up tomorrow morning, you're going to feel better about this. So let's, look, we've talked about this a little. Let's not talk anymore. Maybe tomorrow we could talk, because by tomorrow, I think you're going to be better. What is that? That's giving someone space. Right? So if you're a fixer, you have to become sensitive, because look, some people think that anger is the person just yelling and screaming. No. Fixers can be passive aggressive, right? And they're like, point, point, point. They're like, what are you so upset about? Right? This person wants to throw all the furniture out the window, and they're like, I don't understand it. What are you so upset about? Right? So you can be a passive, aggressive, provoking type of person. And just because your voice is low, that doesn't mean you're not operating with a bullying spirit, a spirit of anger, a spirit of revenge. You know? Now, on the flip side, if you're a stuffer, remember, you can't stuff forever. Because some stuffers, they will give someone the silent treatment for 3 days, right? You can't close people out for 3 days. You can't close someone that you love out for 3 days. You gotta manage what's going on inside of you. Stop being so self-indulgent, and realize that your feelings are not the only feelings on the planet. go ahead and preach it, Pastor, preach it, right? So thank you for that, right? So you have to understand, hey, all right, you took your break, deal with your stuff. Stop living in denial. Stop sweeping stuff under the rug, because that drives the fixer crazy. So it works both ways, where the stuffer can drive the fixer crazy, and then the fixer can chase the stuffer around the house, say, I need a break, I need a break. I go in the bathroom, they're in the bathroom, I go in the kitchen. Like, we have to take care of each other and recognize where there's an offense. Come on, give me a strong amen for that. Yeah. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people going, mm-hmm. So this is like premarital counseling today. Plus. Okay, plus. So the thing that we have to understand, and this is where you start to get victory, because here's the key with anger. In the end, every individual, if you give God space, slow to anger, if you give God space, then you can manage your emotions. You and the Holy Spirit. It's not what the stuffer's doing. It's your lack of making space for the Holy Spirit. It's not what the fixer is doing. It's your lack of making space for the Holy Spirit. And if we understand that just because I'm upset about a wrong, that doesn't mean I'm totally right. Probably that's the biggest revelation. Like, I'm one of those people, I have a strong sense of conviction. You know what I'm saying? And the toughest thing in life is when you have a strong sense of conviction. You're like, I know that. I know what the Bible said. Don't be telling me what the Bible said. I've been reading the Bible for 40 years. Right? It doesn't matter. Right? It's like, God is the only one who knows perfectly. You see? So even no matter how long you've been reading the Bible, God tells you every time you feel anger, you've got to give the Holy Spirit space. Come on, let's give the Spirit space from now on. How many would agree? We want to give you space. Hallelujah. You know, history tells us that Abraham Lincoln used to get really angry sometimes, and he would write these mean letters. But he would write the mean letter, and then he would put it in his desk. And then the next day, he would throw it out. And it was the way he got his feelings out, but then he was like, but I'm not going to take out my feelings. And then he would throw them out. There's all kinds of different ways that you give God space. You know, I learned this from my father-in-law. I used to watch him when I could tell he was frustrated, because he used to go like this. He would go. I was like, uh-oh, right? How many know sometimes taking a breath is a good thing to do? So we got to give God space. Now, there's two things about anger that is important for all of us to understand if you're going to look at this not in a worldly way, but in a biblical way, okay? So this is, the Bible is better than your cultural upbringing and my cultural upbringing. Okay? The Bible is better even than what the educational system is saying or whatever. It's like they're changing their minds every 5 minutes. How many know? Let God's word be true forever and ever and ever, because the Bible is always true. It is eternally pure and true. Amen? Amen? So the first thing that is important for us to know is that anger is not a sin. Our culture now says that anger is a sin, but anger is not a sin. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, right? No. Be angry and sin not. I'm sorry. Right? It says, here it is. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So you can be angry and still not sin. okay? Some people, and our culture has really kind of like capitalized on this, that the minute someone is upset about something, they're like, yo, that's your problem. Anytime someone is upset, like, I won't handle that. No, you can be angry but not sin. Sin comes in when anger spills over into something else. Okay, so watch this. Proverbs 14:21 says, whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. Quick-tempered speaks of the spillover. That means when you run over and you let it out and you spew it out, now that turns into sin. But feeling like you're angry doesn't mean that you're in sin. And this is why it's very, very important for us as Christians to understand this. Like, there is a place to be rebuked. Okay, where's the amen button? Let me show you from the Bible. Watch this. Look at what the Bible says. Right? Titus, please. This is Paul talking to Titus, who was one of the pastors of the New Testament. He says, declare these things, exhort and everyone rebuke with all authority, let no one disregard you. So that means that sometimes you have to rebuke people. Sometimes you have to correct people. A rebuke is a sharp correction. A rebuke is a scolding. Right? And if we remove scolding from our culture, if you remove a rebuke or a correction, I'm telling you right now, you will be a weak person and you're going to raise up weak people. Okay? So I grew up in a house where my dad was like, hey, in this house, the teacher is always right. And so you better figure out a way to not get on the wrong side of the teacher, because if you do, when you get home, you're going to have to deal with me. And you know, nowadays it's like, oh, nobody can say anything to my baby, and we're making a mistake. Okay? The Bible says that we need to correct our children. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Right? Our kids can be corrected. You and I can be corrected. Let me give you an example. I'm 23 years old. I'm in Bible college, right? And myself and about five classmates. It was like three guys and two girls. We all went in one car. I was driving. We went about an hour and a half from the school because there was this Christian bookstore that had this special sale. And you know, we were all starting in the ministry. We wanted to buy these treasures there, and we had saved our pennies for this special sale, 50, 70% off. You go in there, you go nuts, you're grabbing. So we're like, however, we only have an hour and a half because we had a ministry event that day. So anyway, we went about 2.5 hours. So now we get in the car, I'm driving, and I am putting the pedal to the metal. So sure enough, I get stopped by a cop. And it was this little lady cop. And I remember her face. So someone today would say, boy, she's having a bad day. You know? Why? Because she rebuked me as far as the east is from the west. I mean, she lit me up. She went off on me. She was telling me how you put your friends in danger. You put these people. I mean, she went off on me. Some flowery words, right? So back in the day, so everybody's in the car, you know. I wasn't even dating Chrissy yet. Like, I didn't want to look bad in front of the girls. But what do you do when you deserve the rebuke? You know what you do? You go like this. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm wrong. You just take it. You know why? Because there's a place to be sternly corrected. Okay? I want to encourage you. I don't care what sport it is, even though my son-in-law debate about what's the best sport. He likes soccer. But, you know, so Let your kids play sports. You know why? Because in the context of sports, your kids experience real coaching. And the coach, he's not, I mean, at least back in the day, right? The coach is like, hey, you got to do this. Hey, listen up. Pay attention. Do this. Wake up. On and on and on. And can I tell you something? It doesn't break our children. It teaches them to follow orders under pressure. I mean, are we raising mice or men? Let's raise up men. Come on. Some people are emotional weaklings because they can never be scolded. Well, that just started about 30 years ago. In the history of time, there's a place for rebuke and exhort. That is a strong correction. And I, you know, it's so funny. You have to say this because this is where cancel culture comes from. So people say, if I don't agree with you, I just cancel you because I can't handle any kind of negative. Well, how do you learn the truth and get the truth that sets you free? So just because there's someone is angry, that does not mean that they are in sin. It's when it spills over. So watch what Thomas Manton said. Thomas Manton said, use strong arguments but soft words. Okay? Now I have to tell you something. This is really challenging in the Cuban culture. Right? So in the Cuban culture, you could be talking about the Yankees or the news, and there's yelling and screaming. You think that a bomb went off, and there's no argument. Right? So I had a friend once, he came over the house, he was like American Cuban, but you know, I was like Cuban, right? I mean, I was born here, but my house was super Cuban, his wasn't. And my dad, they were talking about the Yankees or something, they were yelling and screaming. My friend was on the floor laughing like, these people, Cubans are crazy. You know what I mean? And so our culture can shape us. But when you become a Christian, it means that you let Christ change your cultural outlook. And say, this is who I used to be, but now this is who Christ is teaching me to be. Somebody say amen. Those controlled by anger make room for Satan, but grieve the Spirit. They are more fit to receive sin than grace. Okay? So the first thing is anger is not sin, and we can't call any expression of it as sin. We have to be mindful of what's really going on. But on the flip side, the second point is that anger always has a trap door. Anger has a trap door. Every time you are angry, just remember, no matter how much moral indignation you feel, if they could send me a keyboard player, no matter how, like, this is really, really bad, this is really, really wrong, remember, there's a trap door under you, and it'll open, and you can fall into sin in a second. You see? Because if you take your moral indignation and you try to take the place of God, and you feel like you can take revenge, and you can blast people, and you can spew out all of the fire inside of you on someone else, right? At that point, it becomes sin, and it never achieves the righteousness of God, is what the Bible tells us. And let me explain it to you this way. So anger is a lot like fire inside of you, okay? And we need some fire inside of us. Okay? But here's the difference. So some fire can cook and nourish like so many people. Right? We need fire. But other fire, uncontrolled fire, will burn the whole house down. You see? When you just let it flow, when you let it spill over, and you're just ranting and raving, you're burning the house down. Anger burns down the house. And so this is not sin, but that's sin. And so the minute we feel angry, We have to be slow to become angry, because if you start going off, you start swinging at people, yelling at people, you know, using foul language, like it's always shocking to me, right? How does a Christian get to the point where they're saying foul language? Why? It's because they've lost control. You understand? They don't want to do that, but they've lost control. Now they've gone from possessing this to this. And I'm really believing God, no more houses being burnt down in the name of Jesus, not in our homes. How many would say amen? So God has to help us. God has to help us. Remember, we have to manage anger. Anger can be misdirected or misapplied, right? Applied correctly, you cook a great meal. Applied incorrectly, you burn a house down. That's what we're talking about today. And can I tell you, if we're mindful of this, it'll really help us. I was talking to a leader recently. Here's how you know. Like sometimes if you find yourself in a position as a parent, as some kind of leader, you do have to correct people or scold people from time to time. Not all the time, but from time to time. So look, when you're scolding one of your kids, or when you're scolding someone because of the particular position you hold, here's how you know. If you're doing it for their good, but you're not necessarily upset, that's part of the reality of life. But if you're doing it because you're upset, you're not ready to do it. I recently heard a leader say, you know what, I got to really correct this person, but I'm not ready to do it because I'm kind of upset myself and I need to chill out for a minute. So sometimes you got to give yourself space so that when you say what you're going to say, it could still be corrective, but you're in full control of your faculties and you're not going to let one issue turn into another sinful issue. Because now you got two sinful issues in the mix. Amen? So we have to understand there's this huge trap door under us every time we get angry. And I want to close with this quote. This is really, really powerful. Of the seven deadly sins, anger is possibly the most fun. To lick your wounds, to smack your lips over grievances long past. In many ways, it is a feast fit for a king. The chief drawback is that what you're wolfing down is yourself. The skeleton at the end of the feast is you. Oh, snap. And what it means is this. We've all blown up. Well, some of us have blown up, right? Some of us have blown up, and then you blow up, and then after you burn the house down, what are you left with? You're left with all the ruins. And you go, what in the world did I do? Right? I tore all of this down. I burned all of this down just because I thought I was right, just because I felt offended, on and on. In the end, your anger consumes not just the other person, but consumes you too. Leaves you empty, lonely, sad, broken, disappointed, you know. And by the way, it's interesting because right after service, I mentioned I got a text from someone, and someone near and dear to me, but from another part of the country, and they say, you know, I've been so angry with myself. I've been so angry with myself that I'm just like, wrecking everything. So look, when it comes to this issue, here's how I'm praying. I'm praying for one of three things or all three things to happen. First of all, some of us need to repent. Some of us need to say for years or for days or wherever it fits, I have been justifying my fits of rage. I've been excusing away my volcanic anger. But today we have to say, Just because I have moral indignation about something, that does not give me the right to blow up. Because when I blow up, I'm actually falling into sin and I'm hurting a lot of people in the midst of it. Amen? Okay, so that's, some of us need to repent, right? Some of us need to receive. Here's why some of us need to receive. Because if when I was talking about the fact that there's a place to be scolded, and you're like, no, I grew up in a house where anger burned the house down, and so anytime someone says anything remotely corrective to me, I'm out. Well, you realize that if no one can correct you, you're out. Because sooner or later, you can't be part of any team, you can't be part of any process, and you can't learn anymore. You can't learn because you were hurt way back when, and now you don't value the truth because you're living in the past pain of someone's anger. Today, you have to say, no. I will forgive that person, but I want to be a balanced person. I want to be a whole person. I don't want to live like this culture lives. Could you imagine nowadays, and I'm going to close in a moment, but nowadays, educated people get up at college, in college universities to give an opinion about something, and if the students don't like it, they start to make noise and they won't even listen. Like, this is what we have raised in our culture. Educated human beings can't listen for 20 minutes what someone has to say just because they don't agree. It's the lowest form of humanity. It's the lowest form. It's so undignified on both levels. But we as believers, we want the truth. Does anybody here want the truth? We want the truth because the truth is what sets us free. And so if you're one of those people, anytime you get corrected, you immediately get stubborn. You got to, today is the day. You got to receive. You got to say, God, break that habit. I have an emotional habit. I want you to break that. So some of us repent, some of us have to receive, and then in perhaps all of us, we have to restart. Restart means I've been messing this up for a long time, but hallelujah, His mercies are new. Every morning, God gives us a new chance. Listen, your marriage gets a new chance today. Your friendships get a new chance. You get a new chance. How many would say amen? Come on, He is the God of a new chance. Hallelujah, because He's rich in mercy.